It's our interest in your prayers this afternoon as we look back into the Word of God. Written on the board, a man sent from God. I'd like to begin in John in the first chapter. And we have some reading in different passages this afternoon we'd like to share because I'd like us to give consideration to John the Baptist this afternoon. And I trust it will be an inspiration and encouragement to you as we look into the life of John the Baptist just a little bit. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6, said, "There was a man sent from God." Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we could about end right there, couldn't we? Is that enough to go home on? "There's a man sent from God whose name was John." I would like the Lord to be able to say that about me, and I'd like the Lord to be able to say that about you. There was a woman sent from God, and her name was, put your name in there, or a man, just to know that God had a plan. And when we look at the life of John the Baptist, it's something I'm very cognizant of and so aware of the fact that God had a plan for John, and God has a plan for each of us today as well. So there was a man sent from God by the name of John. The same came for a witness. Now, this was the reason God sent John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. It was almost like there's some clarifying going on now. Now, God sent this man to bear witness of the light. Now, don't misunderstand. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That's why the Lord sent John the Baptist. In verse 15, it said, "John bear witness of him." Now, who did John bear witness of? Jesus. John came as the forerunner to Jesus' ministry to prepare the hearts of the Jews and of people to know that the Messiah is coming. So get ready, prepare your heart, because the time is fulfilled. Now is the time. So John bare witness of Christ and cried, saying, in verse 15, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." This is something that, now who was born first? John the Baptist or Jesus? John was. But do you note here where John said, "Now he that cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me." This is speaking that Christ, telling us Christ was not created at his birth. Jesus was before. He was at the creation. He created all things. All things were created for him and by him. And John knew that doctrinal point then. He said, "The one that came after me, he actually was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." You remember where we ended or where we started this morning in the book of Malachi? In the fourth chapter, three very important prophecies that were fulfilled within 470 years. And one of those was foretelling the coming of John the Baptist. And there is a lot of doctrinal misunderstanding on this. I was talking to Brother Randy after service, and he was talking about some of the people that he's visited with that greatly misunderstand this prophecy and this doctrine. And I hope by the time we're done this afternoon that you all will be willing or able, if you can, able to talk to anybody about the prophecy of the coming of Elijah, and you can explain what it means. So here it's talking about John, and he said the law was given by Moses. Now, in that period of silence of 400 years, they were still under the law of Moses. But this is the first major prophet since Malachi, who we call the minor prophets. But this was the first major prophet sent to the Jewish people for over 400 years. And here his message was not, "Now this is going to happen in the distance." He was like, "The time is now." And he was telling people to get ready because the Messiah has come. He said the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He was the one that introduced the message of repentance from sin. That was not a message that Jesus Christ came to begin with. That was a message that John was already preaching. So when Christ began to preach it, the Jews had already heard that message going out. And it was, sometimes it takes a while to process things, doesn't it? Sometimes you can just tell, someone can tell you something and just not quite sure about it. And then after you have time to think about it, then you're ready to deal with those facts. I believe one of the reasons that God sent John the Baptist was because he wanted to prepare the hearts of the Jews for the message of Christ. And to prepare them for the message of Christ, he began preaching the same message. Well, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn back to Luke in the first chapter when the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 11, it said, "There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Did you notice that the angel told John that your prayer has been heard? That lets me know that Zacharias had been praying for a child. Elizabeth had been barren. And we read about that here in a little bit. She had been barren and was, for whatever reason, was incapable of having a child. And she was known for her barrenness. Elizabeth the Barren. How would you like that name to be attached? Elizabeth the Barren. In other countries and in this country, through medical science, we understand that it's not always the woman. It's not her fault. It might be the man. It might be the inability for whatever reason for there to be a child to be conceived. But Elizabeth was in a condition in a society that women were oftentimes looked down upon if they did not have a child. And more importantly, if they did not bear their husband a son. I have prayed and talked with and counseled with families and particularly women that could not have children. And to the point that they were being ostracized from their husband. Remember in Malawi a few years ago, brethren, she came to us and had someone else there. It was appropriate. And another brother there was, she came and wanted prayer and was expressing in her sorrow that her husband was rejecting her as the wife because she couldn't have children. Prayed for many people in Pakistan that couldn't have children because in those cultures, in those countries, if a wife could not bear a child, that was the purpose of a wife. And if she couldn't give her husband a child, then might be time to look for another one. And there was a great reproach on a woman. So here we have Elizabeth that was barren. And her husband, Zacharias, was in the temple serving the Lord. But he had been praying, "Lord, in our old age, would you give us a son, Lord?" And the angel came and said, "Your prayer has been answered. You're going to have a son. Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." The Lord named John. Now, the Lord didn't necessarily name my children. An angel of the Lord did not appear to me and said, "This, name him Ethan. He's going to be born. Name him Ethan." You know, with Ethan, my wife and I were looking through a phone book right before he was born looking for names. Do you know that the point being, now that's special, Ethan, but the point being this, that God named John. And he had not only a purpose for him, I believe God had a purpose for my children too. And he has a purpose for your children. The Lord had something. He knows who you were while you were still in the womb. Each of you children, young people, God knew you before you were born. And God has a design for your life. Now you can pervert the plan of God You can change it if you don't yield to Him, because we all have the power of choice. But I believe God has a unique plan for each and every one of us, if we will submit to Him. We were preordained. In other words, you say predestined, yes. We were predestined to serve the Lord. That was God's plan for all of us, but we still have to choose to enter into the plan of God. So here, not only did He have a plan for John, He said, I'm going to give you the name. He said, he shall be called John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness. Do you know there's nothing that brings more joy to a parent's heart than to see their children follow the plan of God? There is nothing that brings more satisfaction to know that my children are following the Lord. He said, you're going to have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at His birth. For He shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink. Now here is something the angel of the Lord was saying. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from His mother's womb. Now how often have you heard that one? Even from His mother's womb, He'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're going to look at a fulfillment of that in just a few minutes. But He said He's not to drink wine or strong drink. Why was that? It was because John had been called to be a dedicated vessel to work for God. Do you know that's the Lord's design for all of us as well? And I would that you also abstain from all wine and strong drink. The scripture says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be inebriated. Don't take anything. Don't take any substance that's going to change the natural right use of your mind, because you're a vessel of God. The Lord wants to use you in His kingdom. And if I begin to rely on a substance to change my body, to change my thinking, well, I need to relax. I'm going to start turning to that rather than allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to give me the relaxation that I need. And I'm going to go a step further, and you don't hear this spoken about a lot, but if there is anything that you have to have, or I'm a grumpy person until I get this in the morning, something's wrong with that. And people have to turn to their coffee. It amazes me the things I hear saints saying today about, I've got to have my coffee. And I say, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. If you're grumpy, if you don't get it, you're getting too much of it. That's just where it's at, folks. The Lord wants to be the one in our life. He's given us food to eat and drink to drink. But the body needs that. But if it's something I need to relax me, if it's something I need to bring about a chemical change in me that I'm addicted to it, the Lord's not pleased with it. He wants me to be reliant upon the Holy Spirit as a consecrated, dedicated vessel for the presence of God, to work for the Lord. So this is why it goes back to the vow of the Nazarite. Back to the vows that they made. One of the things that they vowed, I won't touch strong drink. Won't drink wine. Well, here was John in another time, the first prophet for 400 years. And the Lord here said he's not to drink wine. He's not going to drink wine or any strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord. Do you know this was God's purpose? He's going to turn many people to the Lord. And he shall go before them in the Spirit. Now this is very important as we look in prophecy. He shall go before him in the Spirit and power of Elias. Now, who is Elias? Elias is Greek. All right? The Hebrew translation of Elias is Elijah. So sometimes in the Bible, in the New Testament, we read about, is this Elias? We think, well, why are they calling him Elias? That is the Greek word for Elijah. And Elijah is the Hebrew. And so then he said, he shall go forward in the Spirit and power of Elijah. We tend to acquaint things with Elijah a little more than Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Does that passage sound familiar? If it doesn't, maybe you weren't listening real good this morning. But I want to remind you of the prophecy in Malachi, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to read it to you again. Verse 5, "Behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Do you take note that what the angel was telling Zacharias was a quote from the prophecy of Malachi? He called him Elijah, and Malachi said, "I'm going to send the prophet Elijah before the coming of the Lord." Who came before the Lord? John the Baptist did. Now what some people are teaching is, before Jesus comes back the second time, Elijah the prophet is going to come. My answer to them, according to Scripture, is Elijah has already come. Jesus has already come. When he comes back, he's taking us to the judgment. I'm not looking for Elijah the prophet to come, because the Scripture was a fulfillment of the prophecy. Malachi 4, the angel said himself, he said he came to turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The prophecy was fulfilled, folks. There's no question. And if you're still not quite sure, we're going to read another scripture that'll nail it down for any doubters. All right, let's move on to the 36th verse in the same chapter. 36th verse. The angel of the Lord was talking to Mary, all right? And he began to talk to her about Elizabeth. And the angel said, "Behold thy cousin Elizabeth." Now, translation-wise, Elizabeth was not necessarily the cousin of Mary. She was kin. There was a relation. Behold thy relation, Elizabeth. Now, remember that there was a large age gap between Mary and Elizabeth. Mary was a young girl. She was not very old. Remember, 13 to 17 years old, most likely. So she was a young woman, young person, whereas Elizabeth was an older lady. It was a miracle that she conceived. That wasn't normal, which puts her up into age. "Thy relation Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." So there's Elizabeth the barren. She's been known as barren. She couldn't have a child. Well, and it's also noteworthy that Mary was from what tribe? Remember? Yeah, she was of the tribe of David, which was what tribe? She was from the tribe of Judah, right? She was out from the lineage of David. So she was from the tribe of Judah, whereas Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi, which meant their relationship would not have been through their fathers, or else they would have been of the same tribe. So most likely their relationship was through their mothers, because Elizabeth was from the tribe of Levi. And we also find Zacharias, who was a Levite as well, working in the temple. All right? So, let's read on. This is the sixth month, which means that John the Baptist was born 6 months before Christ. All right? "For with God nothing shall be impossible." In other words, with man it was impossible that she have this baby. But with God, all things are possible. She's not Elizabeth the barren anymore, because there was a man sent from God. And the Lord opened up her womb that she might conceive and bring forth John. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that Elizabeth, Now this is, remember that John the Baptist, the prophecy was from the angel to Zacharias that from the womb he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen what happens. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed are the, is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Do you know that God had been talking to Elizabeth? And she knew that the baby that Mary was carrying was going to be the Christ child. And she said, What is it that the mother of the Lord hath come to see me? But when she was in the presence of Mary, she was filled with the Holy Ghost. She was inspired from the Holy Spirit. And not only was she inspired with the Holy Spirit, John, who was still in the womb, I don't know, he kicked or he leaped. He jumped in the womb. Why? What influence caused John to leap in the womb? It was the influence of the Holy Spirit. It does not mean that John did not have the ability to sin just like everybody else. It does not mean that John did not have the power of choice, but the Lord, and this is where prophecy comes in, the Lord does not take away people's power of choice when he prophesies. But the Lord had a plan, and he looked in the future, and he knew that there was a man that he was going to send that would be faithful to the cause of Christ. And John in the womb was operating under the influence of the Holy Ghost. In other words, even in the womb, he felt that there was inspiration and the moving of the Holy Spirit upon John. Do you know the Holy Spirit can move upon young children? That's why it's important that our children be in places, in meeting, in services, where they can feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. And you say, oh, they're so little, they're not filled with the Spirit. They can be moved by His inspiration. They can know, I don't know what it is, but there is a spiritual force at work. Something is affecting me. That's the Holy Ghost. And that's what John was under that inspiration. Thus the prophecy was fulfilled right here. He's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost in his womb. And then we read in Luke that the babe leaped in the womb under the influence of the Holy Ghost. That prophecy was fulfilled. It did not remove John's humanity or power of choice, but it meant he knew what to operate under the influence of the Holy Ghost. As soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Do you know that when we begin to yield to God, we can begin to fulfill His plan in our life? There was a man sent from God, and his name was John. Let's look at the message that John preached in the Matthew in the third chapter. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. It said, In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent. This was the message that John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he. Now, this tells us who John is. This is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight his path straight. And the same John had this raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. You know, John the Baptist ministered in lonely places. He was out in the wilderness, and the people heard a prophet from God is out there. Let's go hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. It's been 400 years of silence, and there's a prophet come. You know, that's where John the Baptist probably had greater impact after 400 years of silence than if he would have just in the middle of a lot of other prophets. But when it's been quiet and all of a sudden someone speaks up, it's like hearing a pin drop in a room. It's like when it's quiet and there's one little noise, it's like everybody is attuned to it. Do you know, God knew what He was doing. 400 years of silence, and now there's a prophet under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. No wonder people flocked to hear what He was saying. No wonder people flocked to hear what He had to say, because the silence was broken with the message of John the Baptist, and it was a message of repentance. It was a message of redemption. And take note whose appearance. It said he had a raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. Who does that sound like? Who's that look like? Sounds like Elijah to me, doesn't it? You know, there's a lot of similarities. He was kind of a wild man. It's kind of how he's out by himself, and he's eating wild food, and he has raiments of camel's hair. In other words, it's not fine clothing. Jesus wore nice clothes. That's one of the reasons the soldiers parted his raiment and wanted it, because historically he was wearing some nice clothes, is one of the reasons. But John the Baptist here didn't have much. He was out doing God's will, and he had rough appearance, but he was moving under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I would mention as well that when you operate under the plan of God, you're going to go through some lonely times. John the Baptist was out preaching a message that many people accepted, but many of them rejected it as well. And when you are faithful to the cause of God, you young men, if God calls you to the ministry, I'll tell you there's going to be some lonely times. And there's going to be some times it feels like you're standing by yourself. But when you move and operate under the unction of the Holy Ghost, you can stand. There's some lonely times, but John the Baptist was faithful. He operated under the Spirit and the power of Elijah. Did you get that passage? We're going to read on a little bit more. In the fifth verse, it said, Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and they were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Take note that baptism was not new under the ministry of Christ. John the Baptist preached a message of repentance and baptism. Now, baptism was not new under John. People were baptized when they were converted to the Jewish faith. If you were a Gentile and wanted to become a Jew, you were baptized as a symbol of becoming a Jew. Well, John preached a message of repentance and baptism. It's where some of the disciples, or some of those following the Lord later on in the book of Acts, they were asked, have you received the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the Holy Ghost? And they said, the only baptism we know is of John. In other words, we repented and we were baptized in the water like John taught, but we don't know about this Holy Spirit. Jesus came not to baptize with water. Jesus came to baptize with the Holy Ghost. But John's place was preaching a message of repentance and water baptism. All right, then the scripture goes on, and remember here, he was by the Jordan River, and one account said he went where there was much water. You don't have to be by a river if you're sprinkling when it's time to be baptized. A lot of people baptize and sprinkle a little bit or pour a little cup of water over the head. John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ, and he went down into the River Jordan. He went, there was much water. There was no sprinkling going on. Anybody that teaches different than that is teaching a false doctrine. So John went on and he baptized in the Jordan River. And he saw the Pharisees and Sadducees coming. You know, the Pharisees and Sadducees were sects of the Jews that developed in that 400 years of silence. That's where they came from. It was division. How are we going to serve the Lord? What part of the law are we going to hold to? And some of them catered more to the liberal elements, and others wanted to hold on to the law. Well, he went on, and this is what John said to him. O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Remember the prophecy in Malachi? There's going to come a day that's going to burn as an oven. And here John says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Isn't it wonderful how these scriptures all start working together? It's going back to the prophecy of Malachi. It's going back to the prophet, or going forward to the prophecy of Christ when he talked about the destruction of Jerusalem and ultimately the end of time. He said, he warned you of the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. I think that's a beautiful parallel of that prophecy from Malachi. Let's go back to John chapter 1 now. John chapter 1 verse 19. John 1 verse 19. Said, this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Alright, 400 years of silence. Now there's this man that's preaching and teaching under the influence of the Holy Ghost. The spiritual leaders went out and said, who are you? Well, we know who he was. He was a man sent from God, and his name was John. But they didn't know this. So they said, who are you? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. So are you the Messiah? Because see, this is what the Jews were waiting for. They were waiting for a physical deliverer from the power of Rome. And they said, what then? He said, I'm not the Christ. And they said, then who are you? Art thou Elias? Okay, are you Elijah? Why did they even ask if he was Elijah? They knew the prophecies. We're waiting for Elijah to come, because if you're not Elijah, then Christ the Messiah is not coming, because Malachi talked about Elijah the prophet's coming back. And once he comes, then we'll look for the Messiah. You know what? The Jews are still waiting for Elijah. Message from the Lord is he's already come. Let's read on. Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Why? Because his name was John. Art thou a prophet? And he answered, no. See, he wasn't of the Old Testament prophet lineage. Then they said unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that send us. What sayest thou of thyself? And John answered the question. He said, I am the voice of one. I'm not the voice of two. We're not a collective voice. It's a lonely voice. But I am the voice of one, crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they began to ask him more. Folks, the Jews were looking for the prophet Elijah to come before the Messiah. So when Elijah began preaching, the kingdom of God is at hand, they began saying, okay, is this the fulfillment of the prophecy? Are you Elijah? Because if so, then we know the Messiah is coming. And they didn't understand. So many of their eyes were still blinded. But yet, I told you some of the Jews were still waiting. Today at Passover, some of the Jews will still set a place setting or put a cup of wine before an empty chair for the prophet Elijah. Even today, they're waiting for the prophet to come, because when the prophet comes, we can look for the Messiah. This morning, this afternoon, we don't need to wait any longer. We don't need to look anymore. In preparation of the Messiah's coming, God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, to preach to them the coming of the Savior. So, I told you we were going to nail it down if there was any question about who this was in fulfillment of prophecy. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. This is Jesus speaking. Now, folks, we can have all our interpretations of prophecy that we want, but when Jesus said this is the fulfillment, I'm going to accept it and believe it, all right? This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So before John came, we look back to Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, Malachi. We look to them. They prophesied before until John. If you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Did you get that? This is Jesus now. He said, this is Elijah, this is Elijah or Elias, which was for to come. He that hath the ears, let him hear. Folks, many of the Jews still haven't heard. Many religious churches today still haven't heard because they're saying, well, at the end of time, before the end comes, the second coming, Elijah's gonna come. No, Elijah has already come. The scripture said that John was going to come in the spirit, and we didn't focus on it when we read it, but John was going to come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Alright? Now we have Jesus saying, if you will receive it, this is Elias. He that hath the ears, let him hear. Because I'm the Messiah. This is the one that was prophesied to come. Isn't that beautiful? I think this is just a wonderful testament of how the Lord God prophesied, how John fulfilled his plan and his purpose, and then Jesus just nailed it down. You know, some would say, well, but I still think Elijah, I think he's talking about someone else. Well, Jesus just nailed it down here. If you didn't believe what the angel said to Zacharias, and if you didn't believe what the angel said to Elizabeth, and you didn't believe the order of things that happened in Malachi, the fourth chapter, Jesus himself told the Jews, this is Elijah. Believe it or not, because it wasn't Elijah in the flesh, it was Elijah in the spirit, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I know our time's getting away from us. I want to continue on just a little bit longer. John, with everything that he did, all of the inspiration, that lone voice in the wilderness, do you know that he still had a doubt when he got in trouble? Do you know the Lord can be working in your life and then all of a sudden you're plagued with these questions? That's normal. This man sent from John also had some questions. He was in prison. He was in jail in the book of Matthew, chapter 11. He was in jail, and John heard about what Jesus was doing. He heard about what was going on with Jesus. And this is the one that John the Baptist himself, when he saw Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You remember? He knew it was the Son of God. He knew it was the Messiah. But now he's in jail. He knows his life is on the line, and the devil was working on John too. And he heard about what Jesus was doing, and he sent two of his disciples. And they came to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? This is the one that was preparing the way of the Lord. And he's the one saying, do we need to prepare for someone else? Jesus answered and said, go and show John again. He already saw it. He knew it. He was persuaded. But John was just struggling with just a little doubt. I want to be sure this is the one. So go ask him, are you sure? Is my life on the line for nothing? Have I thrown my life away? You know, sometimes in the work of God, I'll acknowledge I felt that way. Lord, have I just thrown my life away for nothing? I mean, was it really worth it, Lord? He said, go back and tell John again. I already told him, but I want you to go back and tell him again. And show him the things that you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So go tell John, who's given his life for the cause of God, go tell them again what you have seen and heard. John did not throw his life away. I'd like to share in conclusion John's end. John was put in prison that we just spoke about because he was unwilling to compromise truth. He was not willing to compromise truth. You can read, and I'm just going to summarize, but you can read in Mark in the sixth chapter, verses 17 to 28. Herod had put John in prison because John was teaching and preaching truth, and he told Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now Herod's half-brother, Philip, Philip was married, Philip was his half-brother, and Herod wanted to take his half-brother's wife as his own. But he had to meet a condition that if she was going to be his wife, And whether it was her or others that told him, he said, you need to get rid of your own wife. So Herod divorced his own wife. He got rid of his wife and he took his half-brother's wife. And John, the prophet of God, said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herod, the scripture said, he feared John knowing that he was a just and holy man. Isn't that wonderful? I don't like what you say, and I'm bowing down to some pressure to put you in prison, but God acknowledged you're just and a holy man. And then, as you know, during the supper, during the birthday feast, that the daughter came, and Herodias, this was his brother's wife. Herodias' daughter came, and Herodias came and said, when the king asks you what you want, or when he asks you what you want, tell him you want John's head. Beware of a beguiling woman. It's what happened with Adam and Eve, and it's what happened here. Herod did not want to do this. Herod didn't want to do this, but now you've got these two ladies involved, and they were pulling on, they had some sway and had some influence, and John was willing to stand up and not compromise and tell the truth. He got put into prison, and now they had his head cut off when it was a convenient day was come when they had that party. The king said, I'll give you whatever you ask. And they said, we want John's head. So they went, they cut John's head off and brought it on a charger. And this was the head of the man that was sent from God. And his name was John. Since John was older than Christ, by at least 6 months. And Christ died about age 33. You know how old John was? Some say he was about 30 at this time. But we know for sure he was younger than Jesus, so he was for sure under 33. Some say 30 years old. John was a young man. We can kind of tend to think of John as being a little older, maybe 40s, 50s, you know, out by the River Jordan. No, John was a young man. And God used him to prepare the way of the Lord. The groundwork was laid for the coming of Christ through a man sent by God. And his life, his dedication, his allegiance to truth, and his death, it ought to be a challenge to us all. I know it is to me today. He was not an old man, but he stood faithful and operated under the influence of the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful for the prophecies that told of his coming, and I am so thankful that those prophecies were not left then for private interpretation, but Christ himself let us know this was the one. He had the spirit of Elijah. This is Elijah. Whosoever hath ears to hear, let him hear, because this is the man that was sent from God.